Hello, my forever family. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ who has struggled with pornography and depression, but currently struggles with food addiction and codependency. My name is Matt, and welcome to Celebrating Recovery. This show is not officially affiliated with the Celebrate Recovery program, but I have been a part of CR for the last 14 years, and I have been the ministry leader of the program at my home church since 2016. This show exists to encourage believers who struggle with hang-ups, past hurts, addictions, questions, or anything that is hindering your growth into the man or woman God desires you to be. That is to say, in short, this show is for all of us. Today, I would like to talk to you about denial. There is a terrible old pun that has been around for 1,000 years that anybody who's been in recovery, or maybe even not, has heard 1,000 times, and that is, denial ain't just a river in Egypt. I absolutely hate this pun. I hate that I hear it at least once a month. I hate that every time someone delivers it, they do so with all the confidence of Jerry freaking Seinfeld. It's not funny. It's never been funny. Oh, but denial is a real thing. And the message of that joke is true. Denial is common, and it's something that we don't often see in ourselves. Denial is defined as a failure to acknowledge an unacceptable truth or emotion, or to admit it into consciousness. It's used as a defense mechanism. Essentially, it's saying that you don't have a problem when you clearly do. Let me give you a couple examples from my own life. I've told you that I've struggled with a pornography addiction and food addiction. Those have been my two main addictions. And when I'm talking about a pornography addiction, like, I'll get into my whole testimony in a future episode, but when I talk about a pornography addiction, I'm not just talking about using pornography for self-gratification randomly. I mean, a lot of men and women do this on a regular basis, and it doesn't mean that they're addicted. For me, it was something a little bit more. It was actually a chemical dependency. Because when you look at this kind of stuff, it floods your brain with a chemical called dopamine. It's a chemical that your own body produces, but this helps it produce more. And it works very similar to the way nicotine works. When you smoke cigarettes, you start flooding your brain with nicotine. And your brain doesn't really need a lot of nicotine, but once it's flooded with it, it has to process it somehow, so it grows. It actually grows new nicotine receptors to process that chemical. And that's why when you start to try and quit smoking, and you start to starve yourself of that nicotine, those receptors in your brain start to die off. And your dumb brain starts interpreting that as you are dying. Like, it's in pain, it's hurting. I need that nicotine. And that's why you have those dramatic cravings, those dramatic withdrawals. And of course, that gets even worse with drug withdrawals. Can't say those words together. Drug withdrawals. But it works the same with dopamine. When you've flooded your brain with dopamine, your brain is going to make this connection to what you're doing to make that happen. And when you try to stop, it's gonna start freaking out. And that's exactly what would happen to me. But I refused to realize that that's what was going on for the longest time. See, my pornography addiction started before I even hit puberty. Like, this was how I grew up into a man, you know, quote unquote. And it had always been a part of my sexual identity, which was terrible and definitely not a beneficial thing. But I remember that dealing with this through junior high and high school, I had met my now wife at the tail end of junior high, and eventually we had planned to get married pretty much as soon as she graduated. She was 1 year behind me. As soon as she graduated, we were going to get married, which is what we did. But leading up to that, once we had kind of made that conclusion, I had it in my head, all right, well, once we get married, this isn't going to be a problem anymore. I'm not going to have to deal with this. We had made this commitment to remain virgins until we were married, and we had kept that commitment. And so I thought, yeah, a whole new world is going to be open to me once we're married. So I'm not going to need pornography at all. I'm not going to need to deal with that. And that was denial. Because honestly, those two things are completely different things. With intimacy within a marriage, there's so much more wrapped up into it. There's emotions. There's another person whose feelings and thoughts and care you have to consider. Pornography is a purely selfish act. And it comes from a different place in your brain, different place in your heart. And so I found myself in marriage still dealing with this. And I let it spiral out of control to the point where I nearly lost everything that I held dear to me. I mean, it got me in trouble at work. It got me in trouble in my marriage. My other addiction was a food addiction. Now, I've been overweight pretty much as long as I can remember, from a child. But one thing that has always happened is that I will go to the doctor, I will get a physical, an exam, they'll check my blood pressure, my cholesterol, all that stuff, my glucose. And what has always happened up until recently is, well, you're overweight, but you're in perfect health other than that. And so I let that go in my mind as denial, as in, I don't have a real problem. There's no problem here, so I'm overweight, big deal. I'm healthy. That's what I would tell myself. Until these last couple years, where I just started almost forcing myself to be in denial because I knew something was changing. I knew something was wrong. And I did not want to go to the doctor. And finally, it got to the point where I had to for our health insurance. And I just knew what was going to come. I knew I was going to be told that I had type 2 diabetes. And that's what happened. And finally, when the doctor said that, that was enough to snap me out of my denial and get to work and get to doing something about it. But denial is almost a preferable state, because when we think beyond that, we're looking into the unknown. Stepping out of our denial means we're stepping into unknown territory, and that can be terrifying. Even if we're miserable where we are, at least we know what to expect from it. So there's a kind of comfort in that. And those two situations are just my story. Just a few of the possible situations. If you've ever said something like, I don't have a problem with this, I can stop at any time I want, or I only do this to get through the day, or maybe if you didn't do that, I wouldn't do this. Well, then you, my friend, are in denial. And there's not much we could say or do to convince you of this. You've heard this many times before. You can't make someone get better. They have to hit rock bottom on their own or come to their senses before they hit rock bottom. But whatever the case, you are the only person who can step out of denial. God will likely help you get there, thank goodness. As he did me. It took some rough spots for me to realize that I've been living in denial. And denial can be sneaky. You likely really don't know you're struggling with it, at least for a time. But we've got to get to a place where we realize that making a life change is the only option. It's not about knowing all the answers or what is coming next or how difficult the change will be. At this point, it's just accepting the fact that something is messed up. You're addicted, you're hurt, you're hung up, you're codependent, you're lost, you're depressed, you're alone. Something, or maybe many of these things, are wrong. But admitting this is the first step to healing. Matthew 5:3 says, happy are those who know they are spiritually poor. Hebrews 12:1 says, "Since we have such a huge crowd of men of faith watching us from the grandstands, let us strip off anything that slows us down or holds us back, and especially those sins that wrap themselves so tightly around our feet and trip us up. And let us run with patience the particular race that God has set before us." This tells us two things. One, God does indeed have a plan for us. And two, we have to be willing to accept it by stripping off the things that are keeping us from being the men and women God wants us to be. If that's you today, if you think that I'm talking about you, I am. Like I said, the only ways people come out of denial is if they hit rock bottom or if they come to their senses. If you are starting to come to your senses right now, if you know you have a problem that you have no ability to overcome on your own, it's time to do something about it. Don't live in denial 1 second longer than you have to. All it does is extend your pain, separate you from God and the people that care about you, and keep you stuck where you are. Remember, denial ain't just a river in Egypt. Ugh, I hate myself. This has been Celebrating Recovery. We're here every Thursday night on BackRowRadio.com at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, directly after the 2-hour Recovery Radio Music Block. You'll also be able to find this show in its podcast form at BackRowRadio.com. You can subscribe to the podcast version on Spotify and Stitcher. And once we get a few more episodes under our belt, it should be available on Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts as well. If you'd like to send in a question to possibly be answered on the show, you can visit backrowradio.com/contact and submit it there. If you're struggling with a hurt, habit, or hang-up and you are ready to do something about it, visit backrowradio.com/CR. to find a Celebrate Recovery program in your area. Once again, I'm Matt. Thank you for letting me share.